Blog Talk Radio.
Let me now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policies.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage.
Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
Sullen, a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us, there's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley got me cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. Computer chip in my arm. I don't wanna die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon, pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he's supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-assed leadership, different position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got the brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? The big corporations, the pigs or the media? Sign of the time, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. It's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe all Marley got some cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, propaganda. I don't believe all Marley got some cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, motherfucking propaganda.
Overlook the fact that we can ride hard in our streets, we won't be knowing the pain we cause. It's white man's world. It's
menacing at all this. And this white man's world, it's all we got. For all those times that I messed up, or we messed up. Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison, I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews, kissing. They say don't let this cruel world get you. Kinda suspicious, swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's richer. Rip the cap off the bottom, I take a sip and see tomorrow. Gotta make it if I have to beg a bottle. Beating love letters, late night, locked down and quiet. If brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Eating Jack Mack, staring at the walls, inside of this cage where they captured all my ways and bonds. In time I learned a few lessons, never fall for riches. Apologies to my true sisters, far from bitches. Help me raise my black nation, reparations are due. It's true, caught up in this world, I took advantage of you. So tell the babies how I love them, precious boys and girls, born black in this white man's world. And on the road, what? To my homie's head, died his best. Shot him to death and left him bleeding for his family to see. I passed his casket, gently ask him, is there heaven for Jesus? My homeboy's doing life, and baby mama be stressing. Shedding tears when her son finally asked that question. Where my daddy at? Mama, why we live so poor? Why you crying? Heard you late night to my bedroom door. Now do you love me, mama? Why they keep on calling me nigga? Get my weight up with my hate and pay him back when I'm bigger. It's still tucking in his jail cell. Missing my block, hearing brothers screaming all night, wishing they stopped. Proud to be black, but why we act like we don't love ourselves? So look around, but stop, check yourself. Knowing what it means to be black, whether a man or girl, we still struggling in this white man's world.
We must fight for brotherhood.
Direction, and I'm thinking of my time away just made perfection. Do you think I die? Not going to cry, why should I care? Like we holding on to lost love that's no longer there. Can you please help me? God bless me, please keep my seeds healthy. Making all my enemies bleed while my G's wealthy. Hoping they bury me with ammunition, weed and shells. Just in case they trip in heaven, ain't no G's in hell. Sister, sorry for the pain that I caused your heart. I know I'll change if you help me, but don't fall apart. Rest in peace to Natasha, little yummy and Kato. Too much for this cold water tank, ended up being fatal. Every woman in America, especially black, bear with me, can't you see that we under attack? I never meant to cause drama to my sister and mama. Hope we make it to a better time.
Life.
How you gonna be a man if we start? Go ahead, now. When you come up with a 5,000 a man, either one of them. How we gonna be a man?
Calling that the mainstream while the masses of the people, white and black, red, yellow, tan, and brown, poor and vulnerable, are suffering in this nation.
That they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the pastors are doing. That's what the pastors are doing all over the world.
Fred.
Tasks, palm full of food, better grip. Take it out of your flame with a bag full of clips. Cause I got a family to wait for my return. To get back home is my main concern. I'ma get back to New York in one piece. For the better the sand that is hot as the city streets. Sky lights up like fireworks, swampy. Bullets whistling over my head remind me. President Bush said attack. Blast back the number, might not make it back. Missile hits the area, screams. Wake me up on my war dream. Heat up the M16. Base training, train for torture. Take no prisoners, and I just torture. Addicted to murder, send more body bags. They can't identify, I'm leaving the name tag. I get a brush when I flood dead bodies on the floor. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Divide the night and night, divide the day. It's all hard work and no play. More than combat, it's all beyond that. Cause I got a kill or be killed kind of attack. Areas mapped out to be no strategic. Me and my platoon make a room wherever we go. But what are we here for? Who's on the other side of the war? Somebody give the president a call. But I hear warfare scream through the air. Back to the battleground before they declare a desert storm. Let's see who reigns supreme. Something like Monopoly, a government scheme. Go to the army, be all you could be. Another dead soldier, hell no, not me. So I start letting off ammunition in every direction. A law is my only protection. But wait a minute, Saddam Hussein prays the same. This is Asia from where I came. I'm on the wrong side, so change the target. Shooting at the general, and where's the sergeant? Blame it on John Honey Hawkins for bringing me to America. Now it's mass hysteria. I get a rush when I see blood dead bodies on the floor. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. War is over, but now at least, just because they lost, it don't mean it's peace. It's a long way home, it's a lot to think about. Whole generation left in doubt. Innocent families killed against the men. It'll be more dead people after this. So I'm glad to be alive and walking. Half of my platoon came home in coffins. A separate general buried in the storm. And bits and pieces, no need to look for them. I played it slick and got away with it. Pick it up so they would think they did it. Now I'm home on reserves and you can bet when they call, I'm going AWOL. But there ain't no way I'm going back to war. When I don't know who or what I'm fighting for. So I wait for terrorists to attack. Every time a truck backfires, I fire back. I look for shelter when the plane is over me. Remember Pearl Harbor, New York will be over, G. Kamikaze, grab the bomb. No peace in the east, they won't revenge for the dawn. Did I hear gunshots and thunder? No time to wonder, somebody's going under. Put on my fatigues and my camouflage. Take control, cause I'm in charge. When I snapped out of it, it was blood dead bodies on the floor. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war.
This means war. 16 plus to break unjust laws. overthrow regimes in the name of the cause. Renegades never slaves, this mean we lost. 100% uncut raw, fuck limited freedom. Nigga, we want more, the machine is corrupted down to the core. Grab a lobby, motherfucker, this mean we lost.
Alhamdulillah, it's a spiritual calling. My old Tanetta, we are still mourning. It's not a documentary about global warming. This is lunar explosions, a global warning. But when the moon bleeds, you can't tell night from morning. City submerged underwater post-New Orleans. It's not your average rap recording. This is insane, lieutenant's taking aim at warming. Well, the American brain remains dead and dormant. My stimuli supplied by my endorphins. The mind's eye greater than pie and broadband. I break going through to the other side without dormant. Not the doors, man. I am equipped with a better memory chip than dolphin. With more keys to open more doors than four foremen. Two executive rooms where they're walking on all fours, man. K9 standing upright in motion. Aided by swine spreading the H1N1 flu. On some wavy shit, are you 46? Population control make the baby sick. This is the war against consciousness. Controlling your soul, sort of a psychological dictatorship. And I am on the front line. Guilty as charged, defending like it's a crime set.
We are renegades, this means war. 16 bucks to break unjust laws. Overthrow regimes in the name of the cause. Renegades never slaves, this means war. 100% uncut war. Fuck limited freedom, nigga, we want more. The machine is corrupted down to the core. Grab a lobby, motherfucker, this means war.
Thank you. save me. How I got myself in this place? See, I got a job with this pimp I pay, and none of the money I make for me, and motels where me and my baby stay.
Oh, girl,
I hope that you think it's over, 'cause God is looking for his soldier. Time to get it, it ain't time to cry, or you gon' need a boat for the tears while the world is passing you by. Know what I'm talking about? Your daddy's so dope, so now little brother's clocking, and now little brother's falling, and not only the boys, but his friends are shocking. Now the fans is watching, and that friend is jealous of his pocket, and he told the fans everything you knew and volunteers to take to lock him.
Oh, girl,
you might wanna think it.
Oh, girl,
'cause you never know when it's
over.
Will you be standing when it's
over?
Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs, it's a takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. Run you through the system for your prince, that's war. When they call my hood a drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the rock house, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Popo do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered Amadou Diallo, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gap battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat tattle. Is it Kids versus Beans or P versus Ho? What about y'all real niggas against the 5-0? This is M1, DP, don't you forget. 'Cause you can talk, 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 but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop your top to see where your brains went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the pigs when it all go down. It's not pop versus big, it's who's getting the power. And power ain't money, dog, it's self-determination. Like taking hot and making it the real people station, that's war. Know what I mean? Yeah. Rap war, whatever war. You live a fast life, more or less, more so, it's still war. Dead prayers, the people radio. Yeah. Get down, get down. RBGZ, biatch.
You are now listening to WRBG, the people's radio. It's a takeover, not a makeover.
Black power, black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned in to In Defense of the People's weekly Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chairman, Brother Nat Turner, your co-host, National... So, engineer on the ones and twos, National Minister of Communications, Sister Amina. Calling every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time, at 845-277-9266. Again, that's 845-277-9266. This is the People's Radio. Press the number one to participate. Tonight's topic, military-industrial complex. We're going to go ahead and open the lines for our host, People's Political Party National Chairman, Brother Nat Turner, New Orleans, Black Power. Can you hear me, comrade?
Yes, I can. Black Power. Right on, right on,
Black
right on.
Black Power, you're a rule.
You're a rule. That's right. That's what's up. Straight up. Yeah, I want to say this here from the beginning. You know, last week, you know, we had so-called technical difficulties, you know, with our radio program. And we don't believe that was a coincidence. We've had that experience over the years. on another radio program, you know, as former members of the New Black Panther Party. We want to state that for the record. So, you know, but anyway, you know, the show must go on. Now, we always want the people to know what's going on with us, the things we experience, because we love our people and we give a goddamn about our people. You know what I'm saying? And we believe that the first order of business is to raise the political awareness of people in this country of African descent, the sons and daughters of the Africans who were brought here and made to serve as slaves. And I say that correctly because all too many times, you know, we've been so conditioned to think that slaves came to America. And there was no slaves. It was Africans who were ripped from the motherland by force, by violence, by organized, chaotic violence, and brought here kidnapped and brought here and made to serve by force, you know, to build the industrial economy of this country, the blood, sweat, and tears, you know. And today's descendants didn't receive any monetary compensation at all, period. We are the residue. We are the holdovers, the remaining element in this country referred to as the United States of America. You know, the victims of the greatest Holocaust on earth. And we're still here, and we're still here catching hell. You know, we want to state that for the record. And so anytime a black man or a black woman takes the time to learn the things that are not going to be readily available to us in the school system, the media or what have you, and takes the time or takes a time out from partying, smoking and drinking, shopping and entertaining and having a good time, you know, and spends that time learning the tricks of the trade, how this shit works, how people can manipulate people, exploit people, create these material conditions to get people to turn inward on themselves and destroy themselves. You know, politically conscious, a political consciousness, that brother or sister becomes a sort of target because he or she is seeking to initiate the liberation process, you know, of a group of people, nation of people, or collective of people who have been oppressed in various forms. No. It was not just physical slavery, you know, where they had our ancestors in a ball and chain or some chains or held under the gun, you know, the shotgun by the overseer on a horse, you know, organized security, so to speak, you know, to continually force other human beings to perform laborious tasks, you know, to build they shit up so their wives and sons and daughters can enjoy a decent lifestyle, you know. And we're here now, and Malcolm X said 50 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, the chickens come home to roost in the condition and the situation that we're facing today. And this is war, not in the abstract, real shit, I don't profess to be no superhero, none of that shit. I profess to be a politicized African, a revolutionary, no different than any other of the revolutionaries that have come along in history and have set out to the task of taking part or making a contribution to the liberation of his or her people. And so tonight's discussion and topic is the military-industrial complex. And of course, it's unfortunate that the average brother and sister doesn't really understand such terminology, but instinctually we have an idea. We're not as dumb as some think we are, even amongst our own, who supposed to be educated intellectuals and all that other good shit. You know? So we're going to try to spin this show and, give a good thorough rundown on what the military-industrial complex is, right out of the gate or on the surface. There may be some who ask or wonder or question, what does this have to do with me? What does it have to do with us? What does it have to do with going out and making something of yourself and getting a job, becoming successful, a career, or doing what it is you like to do every day, wake up in the morning, take your shower, brush your teeth, take a shower, and go out and make shit happen, legally, get money, and keep a roof over your head, and food on the table, and clothes on your back, you and your children, or your wife, your husband, or whoever you may be taking care of, your elder, or even friends. Well, we say this military-industrial complex should affect us all in ways we cannot imagine. And so we're going to try to spend some time tonight doing that. It's so much. And, sometimes I make, some notes, hopefully I didn't miss anything. But a basic definition understanding of the military-industrial complex, even on the part of those who profess to be exposing the military-industrial complex, a relationship, between a nation's military and the defense industry, that supplies the necessary things it must have. Of course, with a vested interest in influencing public policy, the men of industry, the various forms of industry, more time than not, the corporations and the companies, the businessmen, defense-minded corporations, some of these corporations and companies who make washing machines and dryers, refrigerators, who make public transportation, the bus service, the supplies of weaponry, bullets, and what have you. We've done the last two shows on the medical industrial complex, and to make the connection between them, as to go hand in glove, prison industrial complex, to serve the vested interests of, in particularly, the white ruling class, who may also be referred to as the super rich, the 1%. In recent years, these protests, that have been taking place, these mass protests, particularly in New York, on Wall Street, where the majority of that group, you know, Europeans, and their class contradiction or their class antagonistic factionalism with their fellow whites who are the ruling class whites who control the state machinery. What do we mean by the state? Again, is the politician, the businessman, judge, and the police, whom the Black Panther Party labeled as the pig. And in modern day times, I have learned myself personally to make an acronym out of that, which appears to me to be very practical and makes much sense. And that is to protect us of ill-natured governmental systems, or protect us of an ill-natured government. And what we mean by ill-natured is exactly what it is. It is an ill-natured system that has been against the people for the longest. Now, for specificity, when we say the people, as African people, we speak for African people first and foremost. As one particular group or ethnic group in this country, you know, which has been subjected, as I've said, to the various forms of slavery. And of course, the larger society, black and brown people, non-whites. And we say black and brown power. And the poor whites, their own battle, their own contradiction with their own fellow whites. And we say that Black Lives Matter t-shirt is not enough. And we say that some John Brown and Elaine Buck mentality will make you good. And we mean that shit straight up. Things have to be pointed out, articulated, because this is catastrophic. You know, it's an apocalypse. And it's nothing wrong with saying what we saying. It is perfectly all right. Anytime that any group of people come underneath the rule of thumb of another group of people who is constantly shitting on them, treating them like second-class citizens, in the various fields of operation where people have to survive, it is only a natural right, a natural law of nature, that those persons, those groups, will reach some point, some apex in their lives, where they finally realize that they have to take back their lives in their own hands by any means necessary. And this is a historic phenomenon. And so we see ourselves as no different as black people, which may be the only difference, the color of paint that we possess, you know, which of course entails racism, guided by white supremacy on a larger scale. But the military-industrial complex is a phrase, an expression, even used by Eisenhower, Dwight D. Eisenhower, in his exit as president. His departing speech in the so-called Oval Office, what we understand politically correct as the crack house. That's right. Some refer to it as the White House. We refer to it as the crack house. So Eisenhower speaks about a group of men in society who live above everybody else, the power elite, men of industry, in the various fields of commerce, which means and entails an international endeavors. Of course, referred to as international policy or geostrategic international political endeavors or ambitions or motivations on the part of the white capitalists. And so Eisenhower thought he could inform the American public during the early days of the Jim Crow or pre-Jim Crow leading into the 60s. And so this is what he was talking about. It's always amazing how when individuals are indulging in the business or in shit, when everything's going well for them, and there are a lot of times people, you know, they wait till they end up on their deathbed to want to give up the goods or expose the conspiracy, you know, and all the while when they was working with them or in the circle, nine times did they bother to say the shit then. And that is a phenomenon that takes place. And so this is Eisenhower's turn, where he talked about the military-industrial complex. Now, you can take World War One and World War Two as an example to show that these wars were no more than just a dividing up of the planet Earth amongst the European powers, the European nations, which means that the majority of the people on this earth would have been subjected to European imperialism, such as in Africa, of course, which occurred, let's say, 50 years before. Or if you take World War One, you would say, let's say, 30 years before. But if you take World War Two, now in the history book, you know, they give you this story and shit about, you know, the evil Germans and Italians and Japanese and all this kind of shit or what have you, and the good guys, as it was referred to as the Anglo-American establishment, meaning the British and the Americans. Now, in this early stage, you know, the Americans are trying to portray themselves as a neutral country, trying to, or staying out of folks' business and shit. But unseen forces behind the scenes, and this may be hard for people to believe, but America was lured into both of those wars, contrary to popular opinion and the standard orthodox textbook that they use to brainwash our children with in these high schools and even in these colleges when they talk about history. The sinking of the Lusitania in World War One. The Germans had put out advertisement warning the Americans to not fuck around in certain waters in what they call the theater of war. And this ship just so happens to go right out into these areas where they knew it was off limits. And so that ship was torpedoed. And aboard that ship, let's say, was American supplies or know-how. And so that is how America got into the First World War, on the side of the British. The Second World War, how America was trying to stay out of that war, while at the same time they had been treating black people like shit, claiming to go and liberate another part of the world from evil or oppression, while at the same time they were doing the same thing here within their own borders and their own jurisdiction. As the hypocrites that they have been and that they are and will keep being until nine white people get the yoke of Europeanism off of our necks. And so World War II was basically the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now, there's certain literature, certain investigators who have done X amount of research. Some of us have access more to this shit than others. You know, but it was understood that the Japanese codes had been broken previous to this attack on Pearl Harbor. Okay, and so having foreknowledge of the attack on Pearl Harbor, you know, the so-called kamikaze, And this is how America was lured into the Second World War. Now, if there are those who are listening who want to call in, question, comment, feel free to do so. Press 1 and you can enter the queue. You know, but I don't make these statements in a challenging way. We can make these statements based on what's there, you know, for us to view as evidence or facts or solid information enough, you know, to bring across, you know, to our people. And so this is how these World War One and World War Two, the assassination of the Archduke of Austria, World War One, and of course, you know, the general perception of World War Two was to go in and corral Hitler, to defeat Hitler and to save, you know, the white population of the Europeans who refer to themselves as Jews. Okay, and so that is the going line about World War II. You know, the Allied powers, America, Russia, Britain versus Germany, Japan, in Italy, who was referred to as the Axis powers. Now, in a minute, we're going to show you that that's all bullshit. How one's enemy can overnight become one's ally against other people. And how one's ally overnight had also become one's enemy in the form of the Russians in the Cold War. But if you take Hitler and you look at Hitler supposedly the enemy, Hitler couldn't have been all that much of an enemy when it came to men of industry, men of finance. For instance, IBM. How the Nazis were able to round up the so-called Jewish population of Germany and put them in the concentration camps. Now, some may say, you know, well, a Jew looks different from a German. You can tell a Jew from a German. But I'm quite sure that every Jew wouldn't have been able to have been identified just by looking at them going all over the place. So how was Hitler able to, or his henchmen, or whatever you want to call them, the SS, how were the Germans, how were the Nazi so-called regime able to round up what we're told is, well, it would have to have been over 6 million Jews. How were they able to do that and bring them into these concentration camps, you know, into Dachau and all these other different places? They would have had to have the information, the knowledge and understanding to be able to do this. As for instance, how would they be able to round up the Chinese people in America and place them in the concentration camps during the war, fearing internal Japanese insurrection or sedition or sabotage? Well, the record shows that IBM, International Business Machines, played a very crucial role in helping the Germans pull this off. And this may be hard to believe. There's a book, as a matter of fact, called IBM and the Holocaust, written by Edwin Black, who himself is a white Jew. And what he talks about is the strategic alliance between Nazi Germany and America's most powerful corporation. Now, ask yourself, if a legit war is being fought to get rid of an evil man who was seeking to wipe out a small segment of the population of Europeans, how is it that America could have been fighting against Hitler when its most powerful corporation was in an alliance and the Nazi, which is how they were able to get these, like the old punch cards, you know, the old computers that have the the cards, and they would punch these little, like, rectangular little holes in them, like you know, where can I use, like, what they, back then is the precursor to what they call algorithms today. And so this is how they were able to pull that off. Now, one of the first acts of war, one of the first strategies of war, when you're going into an enemy's, you know, region, land, or whatever, one of the first things is to knock out the power. Well, strategy to hurt, to destroy the Germans, you know, power grids, alliance. They received tremendous support from, I believe, it was IT&T. You know, these telecommunications companies, you know, that you see now running rampant in America, these corporations. So it's a whole array of them. Another example. There's this sort of like fuel like thing, you know, referred to as tetraethanol. And this particular type of fuel was a crucial component in, you know, aviation. You know, in other words, you know, the fly, they, you know, their warplanes. And so at the time, it was one particular company that had the patent or the monopoly on it, and this was Standard Oil. Standard Oil is what you know today as Exxon. And the owners of Standard Oil, some of us may be aware, was the Rockefeller family. And so the Rockefeller family through Standard Oil was supplying the tetraethanol that the Germans would need to fly their planes. On one end, they're putting out through their corporate controlled media how the Germans are bombing the Brits on one end. On the other end, the same people that supposed to be in allies with the Brits is supplying the Germans the tetraethanol, which makes it possible to drop bombs on their allies. Now think to yourself for a minute and ask yourself, is that rational? You see, General Smedley Butler, who retired, according to him, General Smedley Butler also himself had gave a sort of similar speech like Eisenhower. And General Smedley Butler is the one who had phrased the expression war is a racket. And so he explains what war is a racket, and particularly so-called fascist takeover of the American government, you know, where he was approached by the power elite, the same men of industry, to lead a army of, I think it was 500,000 or something like that, to take over the so-called American government, you know, fascist overthrow or whatever, of democracy or republic or whatever. But he speaks about war as a racket, and war as a racket is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So it was never about any serious thing on their part about Hitler, even though the perception is to go in and neutralize the German menace. The one thing is that Hitler, it was no difference between Hitler and the British Empire and the growing American Empire, because they both had imperial objectives. It was no different. I know an ass looks different from an elephant, but you could take two elephants and you couldn't tell them apart. Now, one elephant may act that one particular way, and his other elephant may be acting another particular way because this elephant has something that's bothering it. But they're still elephants. So there was no difference between Hitler, the British Empire, and the growing American Empire, the Japanese imperial ambitions, neither Mussolini's ambitions as an openly avowed fascist. Mussolini simply said that he was a fascist in the open, and when asked to define the fascist, and I've said this before, where he said the combination of government and corporations get it together, basically become one, and they run shit. This is where we're at today, and that was the time in that era that it was really beginning to start to take shape. And so Hitler's imperial ambitions were no different than what the British Empire had already done way before Hitler. Way before Hitler. So they were nothing but hypocrites. And some would say, well, the difference between Hitler and the British Empire that the Brits didn't purposely go and sought and seek out to annihilate or practice genocide against one specific group of people, and I beg to differ. You can kill a man in a million ways. You can kill him by poisoning him. You can kill him by stabbing him with a knife or a shank. You can kill him by putting a bullet in his head. Or you can kill him by pushing him off a cliff. You can also kill him by running over him with a car. But killing him is killing him. And the British Empire is no different. They had killed just as many people as Hitler over their 200-300 years of their imperial endeavors around the world. They had the largest empire probably ever. And so Hitler's imperial ambitions in Western Europe, Central Europe, was no different. So it was a war for the division of the spoils. The winner takes booty, B-O-O-T-Y, and that's even in the Bible. So it was because of Hitler's ambitions and his particular type of strategy that the other opposing forces and their imperial ambitions, the differences between the two. While at the same time, Hitler, yes, was going after one specific group of people. Now, people don't really understand, the average person don't really have no idea of financial control over an economy. It is said that the old man Rothschild, who is the progenitor, the forefather of what became the Rothschild family then and today, basic statement that give me control over one's currency and I care not who makes his laws. And so this is a philosophical truism in the world of finance, government, economics, political decision making. And so these companies had profited from World War II. No war can be fought, in essence, without some type of financial resources or financial backing. And so taking a good look at Hitler's background and what do you see, Hitler had a banker. And this banker, his name Prescott Bush, who's the father of George Bush Senior Devil, who's the father of George Bush Junior Devil. And so these financial resources, Brown Brothers, Brown Brother Harriman from the Brown Brothers and the Harriman family, whose financial wealth goes back to the same age of what's referred to as the age of the robber barons, with the Rockefellers, the Vanderbilts, the Goulds, J.P. Morgan and the gang, and so forth, the Carnegie family, and so forth. War is a racket, and these have been the basic families of America who have profited from these wars. So much for Hitler being the enemy. Now, there's a book that was published that documents this well. The name of this book is Trading with the Enemy, The American Nazi Money Plot from 1933 to 1949. Now, in American government, there's a branch of American government, which, you know, like on a local level, they slap fines on a business that discriminated against blacks. you know, what have you. Well, on the national level, on the federal level, there's supposed to be this branch of ethics and all this other bullshit, you know, headed by Henry Morgenthau, I believe. And Henry Morgenthau was given this yeoman's task of investigate. And so he investigated these companies, and they were using all types of what were referred to as subterfuge to hide their dealings with Hitler, their financial dealings with Hitler. Some of these commercials you may see on television today may not have a, you know, idea. Some of these companies go back to the age of World War II and also assisting Hitler's war program in Europe. Okay, but Morgenthau had investigated and come to find out these companies, corporations were guilty. Nobody went to prison. Nobody went to jail. And this is the same type of sham shit you see on CNN and Fox and CNBC, NBC, MSNBC, whatever you want. These subcommittee hearings where they, when they bring somebody, you know, before the subcommittee, and they, you know, bring all these cameras and put all these people up in there, and the politician on the left hand or right, you know, he grills this person for this, that, or Federals of all this shit is just, it's just entertainment, just to keep the American people believing in this bullshit. Only the average Joe and Joanne is going to go to prison. You know, and it's so connected. All right. So much so that if you look at these very powerful families in Europe, the so-called Queen of England, back then Queen Victoria, who had two great grandsons, Prince Philip, Prince Christoph of the Hesse-Cassel family, you know, these ruling so-called royal families. Well, these two great-grandsons of hers, while on the surface, the Brits supposed to have been the war enemies of the Germans, then even royalty had gotten on the act with Hitler. And due to their, how should I say it, their royal standing within society, chose to take these prominent positions with Adolf Hitler, while the Brits are sending their troops, their citizens, out in the war theater as cannon fire for the wealth. So much so for Hitler being the enemy and this war to end Hitler's rule. It seems to me that there are two Bibles going on here. One Bible for the few and the other bullshit Bible for the many. To keep them in constant mental control, brainwashing and social engineering. So much for World War II and this great war to go in and liberate the white Jewish population who was being attacked through the Holocaust using the concentration camp. And also the Zyklon B gas that was supplied. Name of this company escapes me right now, but also the Zyklon B gas that was supplied by one of the corporations that had a subsidiary corporation with the Americans. That's another one for you. So much so for Hitler being the enemy of America and the Brits and the Russians. Now, out of World War II, after World War II had been settled, Hitler's so-called suicide, taking his own life and what have you, the Nazis realizing that the jig was up. Also, while I want to mention this, like I said, that Hitler was no dummy. Hitler knew the game as the rest of them did. The one thing that the people were not told is about the goal. The gold standard and who can accumulate the gold reserves in these banks. And this is why Hitler was going around in parts of Europe, sticking up the banks and taking the gold. It is no different than what America has been doing in more recent times, trying to enter these foreign nations and getting after that gold, in particularly countries like Libya and the murder and assassination of Muammar Gaddafi, which we'll get into. But it's the same shit, the same strategy, the same imperial endeavors. War is a racket, and the military-industrial complex developed a appetite to grow into the menace that it is today. Far as science go today, what we're talking about here. So with the coming to the nearing of the end of the war, World War II, the European powers in so many ways, galvanized their or consolidated their powers. In other words, it settled their internal squabbles, their internal contradictions as capitalists. And so this is the creation of what is now we know today as NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which was founded in 1949. And it is basically a bunch of white nations, Europeans, who had come to grips, who had come to realize, and they'd settled their little scores and skirmishes with one another, and they've come to understand that we can work together and instead of making war one another and settling some differences, we can dominate the earth together. In so many ways, all that simply says is dominating black and brown nations around the world, denying whites. And this is why if you take a look at the NATO member chart or the chart of nations of NATO, you will see that these are nothing but white honky nations. You know, just to throw a little Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad in there. You know, but that's what NATO pretty much is. Now, these bylaws, their basic understanding to defend themselves against what they refer to as third parties. And these third parties is no more than the non-whites. Due to their imperial ambitions, they know that it would be some type of blowback, some type of rebelliousness. The people that they, knew or they know that they're going to go and try to rule and dominate, that there would be, of course, a natural response to the type of imperial endeavors that these white nations would seek to do in the future. And so that is the foundation of establishing of NATO. NATO is an acronym for the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And it is an international, basically military body that basically protects white nations. So the North Atlantic Treaty Organization from one side of the Atlantic West to the other side of the Atlantic East. You can also refer to it as the Anglo-American establishment. West Atlantic, which would be America, North America, the countries of North America, Canada, United States, and the East Atlantic would be pretty much what is referred to as Greater Britain, the United Kingdom, featuring England and so forth, France, and then the countries east of France, all the way to Central Europe, Germany, the Mediterranean European nation of Greece, Belgium, the Netherlands, from whom some of the most powerful international families have derived. As far as the oil magnets go, some of us may be familiar with the sign that you see on the highway or in certain areas, BP, which is referred to as British Petroleum. You know, and these so-called royal families in the Netherlands, London, even in the Mediterranean region of Monaco, you know, where they have this exquisite, what's referred to as Formula One race, you know, where they race through this area in Monte Carlo, Monaco. But that's pretty much what NATO is, an international military body that protects their own. In other words, an attack on France is an attack on America. An attack on Germany is an attack on Britain. And that's just like some white folks living in a neighborhood in a rural area, and some Arab goes there and he attacks some white boy, and the neighbors come out and they kick his ass together. Just to give you an idea of what we're talking about here. Also, to set themselves up as the United Nations, which began as the League of Nations, it is the same thing, which has been expanded, though, on a face value, on the face of it, including nine white nations. It is no more nor less than the sham show and cosmetics. In other words, you know, overt and outright racism that the average Joe and Joanne can understand. Of course, you know, if any one of us leave out our houses or we're out and about in public and we look up and we see some guys with some white sheets and white hoods, or, you know, white, you know, we automatically identified as, well, I saw the Ku Klux Klan, and of course, you know, it may be some cause for alarm, you know, just outright, you know, overt racism. Well, the United Nations is a more clandestine operation. You know, to include the nine white nations in order to make them believe and make them think that we are all one, we are all together. But it seems to me every time you look around, when they go to the UN and vote, they're supposed to have this law of voting to recognize the right to go to war. And so more times than not, it has been the nine white nations that these wars have been made on, that have been made against. Even in the sense where the whites was just like, well, look, fuck it. We could care less if we going to vote or not. We still going after this nigga, and that's going to be that. We broke the law. We going to break the law. None of them go to prison. Shows you the power of nations when they get themselves together and set up the rules to protect themselves and their interests after having dominated the nine whites on the earth to get themselves in these positions. Now, that's the United Nations. And, of course, you know, the other strategy and trick is to put a person of color as the UN Secretary General. And so they you know, that's a given. You know, just like they, you know, put Barack Obama in office, you know, to give face, you know, to win black people back into a broken system. But it's always something that happens previous, you know, that has this negative effect to where the people begin to generate this, you know, a rebelliousness, you know, sort of lure them back into the bag. Sort of like a, you know, like a brother who, you know, went out, you know, he cheated on his wife, got busted by the girlfriend called, you know, best, you know, black, you know how it goes. And so, you know, like they show this shit on Atlanta Housewives, whatever that is, Love and Hip Hop or whatever, you know, where the nigga went, you know, purchased the Benz, put a big ass bow on top of it, parked it out in the front, knocked on the door to show his wife that he's sorry and blah, blah, blah. You know how the story, same shit, no difference. Same thing, same strategy. Now, that's the United Nations. Now, another one is on the financial tip, on the financial aspect of it, where they set up what's referred to as Bretton Woods. This was around 1944. Now, they set up Bretton Woods. Oh, by the way, the UN capital is in New York. which some refer to as the financial capital of the world, by the way. Now, they set up Bretton Woods in 1944. Bretton Woods, of course, is a place, you know, Bretton Woods, blah, 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 here in the United States. And they set themselves up where all these different persons got together, and they decide to set up a monetary currency, a monetary exchange or value system, a currency system as far as trade goes, and particularly, let's say, natural resources featuring oil. This is how they were able to set themselves up, in particularly the Americans. Now, the U.S. dollar was chosen as the standard currency. And so that meant that all the other nations had to take their currency and go and exchange the value for their currency to get American dollars to buy petrol. And you have what's called OPEC. Let me see if I can get this right. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. In other words, the nations whose land or what have you produces, you know, pretty much the bulk of the world's oil supplies, such as Venezuela, which has had a history of attempted coups against it, Iran, Iraq, pretty much these non-white nations and countries. All over Africa, the exploitation of Africa, using wars as a way in, as a racket, where you create the conditions or what's referred to as nations that's not going along with the program. All right, so that's how the U.S. dollar became the standard international currency of trade. And so any nation that, you know, not willing to go along with this lopsidedness, you know, is made to be an enemy, and so therefore create conditions for war, which, you know, is worth, you know, incredible amounts of money. And so the military-industrial complex, the U.S. State Department of Defense and all the different whatnots, whatever, the suppliers, you know, of the machinery and so forth through industry and commerce. And commerce, of course, is the chief factor when it comes to a nation's economy, let's say, on an international scale. Okay, now, during the 70s, under the administration of Nixon, let's see, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, in that era, especially Jimmy Carter, was a national security advisor. Names of Zbigniew Brzezinski, whose name would appear to be East European or Russian or something. Well, anyway, he had written this strategy or this paper where he talked about the future of America, dominance, or to keep his position intact. And the name of this book is called The Grand Chessboard: American Primacy and Its Geostrategic Imperative. And so what he was saying was that taking a look at the, you know, at the earth and these places of value, what he referred to as the Eurasian plate. And so whoever controlled the Eurasian plate, they can control and dominate, you know, the planet on into the future. Okay. These are particular type of imperatives that, you know, he advised, you know, this government, you know, not only with Jimmy Carter, but during that era, Ford, Nixon, Jimmy Carter, in the 70s. Brzezinski is one of the masterminds, believe it or not. This may be hard for some people to believe, but Brzezinski is one of the masterminds behind Islamic fundamentalism, the Mujahideen, through the CIA financing what eventually became Al-Qaeda, and then an extension of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, while at the same time they're telling you there's this war against terrorism. Now, during this period, you have what's referred to as the Cold War. And so I had said earlier that one had an ally who eventually became an enemy overnight the next day. And one had an enemy which eventually became the ally overnight the next day. What I meant by that was this. The Germans, after these Treaty of Versailles and all this type of stuff, the Germans were slapped with penalties and they lost their holdings and their holdings were split up, you know, with the allied nations and all this kind of shit. And that's how it goes. And so the Germans, you know, were now good. And so they became, you know, these allies, these business imperial international strategic imperatives. And so now the Germans are part of NATO overnight. In the meantime, the Russians, who had supposedly been allies, had become enemies overnight, which introduces the Cold War strategy. You see? And so that is how we here in America have become to know the Russians as evil. And there's a strategy and tactic behind that for the simple purpose of war as a racket. Now, the Cold War is a result of America's imperial endeavors to project itself onto the world, where it creates the boogeyman. Okay. Also, when America had took advantage of, you know, exploiting uranium physics and whatnot, and creating these this nuclear arsenal, and there was this treaty at some point where they after they had accumulated so much, all of a sudden, it's against international law to produce nuclear weapons. You see, and so the Russians wasn't having that shit, because the Russians understood that, yeah, we're fighting, but at the same time we're keeping an eye on what you all are doing, and so we want to have the same shit that y'all got, so in case something goes wrong, that we could defend ourselves. And that is how that started. So they had to create this thing about the Cold War, so the Russians had become the international enemy of everybody. Now, this strategy has been gotten from one Niccolo Machiavelli, Italian, who lived like 400, 500 years ago. And Machiavelli used to have these sort of conversations with the prince at that time, which has become the name of a book that he wrote called The Prince. Now, if you read The Prince, you know, you can understand where we at with it today, you know, why these wars are taking place. This is why some of us, you may have heard me on previous shows refer to them as Machiavellian wars. You see? And so at times, Machiavelli would advise the prince on how to keep his holdings, you know, how to keep his subjects, you know, appease his subjects, you know, to keep the subjects cool, you know, lest they rebel against him, lest they threaten, you know, overthrowing him, he losing his holdings, right? And so Machiavelli advised him that from time to time, create an enemy, fabricate one, and then take that enemy down. And the people will embrace you, run to you, love you, appreciate you even more that you really care about them. And this is the strategy that this government has been using more than any other nation today. There isn't one war you can name. There isn't one so-called terrorist organization that you can name that America doesn't have its imprint on, that it doesn't have its imprint on. And so the Russians became that first group. They became that first nation. On into the 80s and the 90s and whatnot. And then all of a sudden you have what's called terrorism. And so it was Brzezinski who was we can say the chief mastermind, the orchestration of what became the Mujahideen. Now there's these series of Rambo movies, and I think it's the second Rambo movie, if I'm not mistaken, or the third, where they show I forget his name, Colonel whatever his name is. Colonel Troutman or something. Well, anyway, where they show it, they're going in this failed mission, and the shit got blown up, and then they kidnapped him, and Rambo is over in India somewhere, Pakistan or something. He's trying, and the CIA man goes and tracks him down and lets him know what happened, all this kind of shit, whatever. And first he turns him down. Then he comes back, hey, man, blah, 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 this is what happened, all this kind of shit. He said, well, can you get me in? And so he said, cool, but if shit go bad, we will deny any knowledge of you, we straight up. So he ain't worried about that. So he ends up going to Afghanistan. All right. The scenes where they show him in the desert playing like this game on a horse, whatever, some shit like that, and it shows, all these people sitting around in the camp and all this kind of, that is the Mujahideen that they're portraying in the movie. That is the Mujahideen that they're portraying in the movie. The little boy with the AK. That is the Mujahideen that they're portraying in the movie. In so many ways, the guy that's sitting around in that camp, that's doing the talking, that's Osama bin Laden that you're talking about right there. And that is the creation in that movie. That's the movie to hide them. And then they show you, and then who? Brzezinski and Carter signs this secret deal to finance the Mujahideen, logistics, to supply them with weaponry and the whole shit. Because of who? The so-called Russian menace that's heading westward. And their imperial endeavors into what is referred to as the Middle East, from Central Africa. I mean, from Central Asia. And so, if you look at a map, of Central Asia, you see it, Pakistan, India, Afghanistan, these countries, right? So, this is what Brzezinski meant by geostrategic moves. And so, using war, to control the geostrategic plate, but to fabricate the legitimacy of war in a war theater so it can look democratic, it can look, the good guys come in and, free the, or even, the hero comes in and saves the damsel in distress. And there's always a movie with some white woman who's a damsel in distress, and the white dude comes in and saves him. And we all know as children that this has been Superman and Lois Lane. Okay, and so this is how that began. Referred to Islamic fundamentalism, and there was an interview with Brzezinski some years ago. One of these journalists that caught up with him, I think it was a French version. But what the American what the Americans did, they cut out this particular portion of the interview, they edited it. And so if you go online, you read it, and you will see Brzezinski in so many words saying, well, look at here, which one you think is important? A few Americans being angry and mad over some shit we did, or us controlling that region using the people who they now refer to as terrorists. This is in an interview. This is in an interview. It's not me making this up. You see? And so the Mujahideen, from the Mujahideen, Al-Qaeda to ISIS. The so-called war on terrorism, 9/11, George Bush and the gang, and so forth. Okay? So from that to modern times. Now, I want to kind of add some things to that, you know, in between. You see, let's see, with the Taliban in Afghanistan. Okay, you know, this thing with Osama bin Laden. Now, that tactic and strategy you can refer to as the Hegelian dialectic. It's referred to as the problem, reaction, solution. In other words, you know, the Osama bin Laden and the gang and Al-Qaeda and ISIS had become the new Russians, the new boogeymen. The new boogeyman. And so the problem is the Al-Qaeda, Taliban, ISIS. The reaction is blowing up shit. To get a reaction from the American populace. The solution is to go in under the pretenses of the war on terrorism to protect our so-called freedoms. You know, there's a document that was written, you know, by the cabal, by the cartel, referred to as a project for the new American century. You can go online and read it, check it out for those who may be interested. And we, you know, we understand this as Cheney in the game. The reason why we say that it's Cheney in the game because George Bush was basically too dumb to really understand certain things. But however, he was one of the greatest warmongers of all time. Now, in his project for the new American century, was to look at the landscape, taking his advice from Brzezinski, grand chessboard, as a you know, state national advisor. In that document, they speak about the future, the 21st century America and going into the next century. That's what they meant. One of these things that was done was to study energy. And so there's a James Baker Institute at the university, I believe University of Rice in Houston, Texas. And so there's this energy studying thing. And so they concluded that with our ambitions, the way that our great country is going, all the technologies, the advancements, the innovations, and technology, you know, the manufacturing of new technologically advanced automobiles and whatnot, you know, they calculated, you know, this energy thing. What would be an energy crisis if they didn't, or if they didn't have X amount of this and the expending of energy. In other words, the overconsumption of energy. And so they figured they would need what Brzezinski referred to as the Eurasian plate. And so right in that smack in the middle of the Eurasian Plate is the so-called Middle East. They created this name, the Middle East. There's a Middle East, there must be a Middle West. And there's a Far East, there must be a far West. Okay? And so this is how it has come about. So they concluded that eventually we would need these countries. So the military-industrial complex said, okay, well, we'll put these things in motion. We'll make them happen. We'll make them happen. And that is how 9/11 came about. Project for New American Century, they was trying to figure out how they would go after these countries. They list these countries, Iraq, Iran, Syria. Okay, today, some years ago, you heard about this so-called war in Syria, this going in and bringing democracy to Syria and getting rid of Assad, the dictator and whatnot, blah, 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 blah. You know, when's the last time you heard about it now? You see, when's the last time you heard about ISIS? Just ask yourself. You see, It's the same strategy, same thing. So the military-industrial complex get together, and they decide, so, well, we, the corporations, the companies, the energy companies and whatnot, you see. And so they needed a way in. None of the countries would give them a way in, so they had to create one. These countries had become, let's say, smart enough to realize what the Americans were up to. The thing with Iran, they tried to create another scenario where the Iranians would attack and torpedo an American military boat or something of that nature in order to draw the Iranians into a war. But the Iranians wouldn't go for it. And so what they would do, they would on purpose sell this fictional imaginary line of what's Iranian waters and what's international waters, trying to provoke the Iranian line. This is an old strategy. This is an old tactic that they used years ago. Now, there's an operation referred to as Operation Northwoods. In order to be able to create this war, in order to legitimize it. Now, I had spoke about Pearl Harbor. This is what referred to, as some of you may have heard of, as false flag, operation, a so-called terrorist operation, or blowing up something. So in Operation Norwood, 1962, where the government wing, the CIA wing of the government, use a strategy, a tactic to attack civilian and military interests, and actually blow up shit. And they was using this tactic to create a war, to attack on Cuba and the great Fidel Castro. And so this is referred to as Operation Northwoods. This is how the Project for a New American Century got around to create 9/11. Contrary to all the experts and the orthodox, whatnot, and so forth, and all this other shit, their own media talking heads and pundits, this is one document that they cannot refute. So if you can't destroy the message, then you go after the messenger, like they did Gary Webb. Murdered him. And so this Operation Northwoods was the template for 9/11. And what was the goal? The goal was to topple Saddam Hussein. Now, those who are in the know understand that Saddam Hussein hadn't anything to do with 9/11. And here you had a man putting in the call and taking responsibility for these attacks, one Osama bin Laden. Now, there's an interesting relationship between the Bush family and the bin Laden family, all the way to Saudi Arabia. So 9/11 comes around to get the intel. They had been forewarned by the French intelligence, French intelligence, and maybe I think Afghan intelligence somewhere in there, but I know it was the French intelligence, pretty much told them what was going to take place. And so there were certain persons trying to investigate these things that were, and the person who actually was leading this investigation actually was died in one of the buildings because he hadn't gotten the memo that day or the day before to not take his ass to work. Like Conda Skeezer Rice did call the governor of California, I believe, and told him do not catch that flight this morning. And that flight that the governor was supposed to get on was the same flight that was hijacked. And so this is the type of internal shit that goes on behind the scenes that the American population or people are not given or not privy to, unless they're willing to dig behind the scenes and take a look for themselves and think on their own. And so 9/11 took place because 9/11 was needed for the Project Move Arab Central to start going after these countries in what they call the Middle East. And this is how they began to make war on Iraq. The same, like I said, there isn't one of these persons that they created, that these persons who had become so-called dictators that the American imprint is not on. Saddam Hussein basically is a product of America also. Years before 9/11, Saddam Hussein was accused of gassing, the rival Muslim faction, the Sunnis and the Shias. I believe it was the Shias, if I'm not mistaken. But years before, Saddam supposedly gassed, population, and nothing was done. The reason why anything wasn't done because Saddam Hussein was doing the bidding of America. It is when Saddam Hussein woke up and began to understand international policy and monetary value, currency, and the wealth of the country of Iraq featuring the oil that the Americans turned on him. He didn't turn on America. America turned on him because he woke up. And that is how Saddam Hussein had become a brutal dictator who needed to be removed. And George Bush Jr., with this story about the same man who tried to assassinate my dad and the war in Kuwait, going after Kuwait. The same thing that the Europeans have been doing, creating satellites or colonies within their orb, as I said, the British. Saddam was doing no more, no less than the same. If you look at a map of Iraq, you'll see at the bottom of Iraq, you see the Persian Gulf. Right there at the Persian Gulf at the bottom, you see right there, you see a little small region called Kuwait. Kuwait is no more, no less than southern Iraq. And so the capitalists created the factionalism to induce the Kuwaiti people to secede from Iraq because of the strategic demands on the part of the oil war mongers. And that is how the Kuwaiti war was started, and Saddam being made to be the bad guy under George Bush Sr. dealt. War is a racket. And so it was because Saddam had woke up that the Americans turned on him, and he had become the bad guy, and so they created the weapons of mass destruction story. And that is how that worked. They sent in the head man through the so-called UN investigative or team or what have you that they sent in. I can't think of his name, but I damn sure enough can think of his wife's name. His wife's name is Valerie Plame. Valerie Plame was a CIA operative. And so because her husband had come back and wrote his report, a report that was unsatisfactory with the war mongers, they got revenge. And they leaked his wife's name to the public, and her career was over. And to this day, she may still be wanted as a price of bounty on her head, because of the work she had done in the so-called Middle East. She had been exposed. That is why they leaked her name, because he had concluded there was no weapons of mass destruction. The British were doing the same thing. There was a white woman who had worked at the at the agency, and they were getting this intel, coming, across her desk. And she had realized that the 10 Downing Street, where their version of the president, the prime minister, what have you, they both was whipping up the same story. I can't think of her name, but she actually was attempts to the persecutor and prosecutor, to try to do her the same thing. That they've done several people who are whistleblowers, prosecute them. You see, Bradley Manning, who is now a she, okay? But that was an orchestrated, concerted effort to, you know, create this war, to go after the natural resources of Iraq, and so forth, Iran, Syria, the same shit. Afghanistan was no more than confiscating Afghanistan, so to create the Taliban as the bad guys, you know, who were harboring a terrorist, criminal, and whatnot, and so forth, and all this type of shit. Okay, to go after those Osama bin Laden and all this kind of stuff. So the confiscating of Afghanistan. The Afghanistan war was no more than the creating a pipeline from Central Asia with Russia in the way. So they had to go around. So they had to go through Afghanistan. So that means they needed to confiscate Afghanistan. So confiscate Afghanistan, well, shit, make a war. You know, use the Taliban as the bad guys, you know, like Machiavelli told them, had taught them, and then boom. That's what the war in Afghanistan was all about, to run a pipeline. Now, when they confiscated Afghanistan, became a colony of the Anglo-American establishment, they put in place Hamid Karzai, who was trained right in the Europe, in the Euro-American sphere of education. You see? And so they put him in place as the president. And he had done an intern at one of the oil companies, or you know, Halliburton, Brown and Root, and Bechtel. And I believe he was out at Bechtel or Brown and Root. So it was already a done deal. You see, it was all about the oil. There was no thing about the Taliban, all this kind of shit. As a matter of fact, there's a graph which shows whenever the Taliban was in rulership, the heroin production had drastically been reduced. And so not only was it a war against Afghanistan for the oil, but it was also a war against Afghanistan to keep the heroin trade flowing, featuring the CIA. There's photos, there's videos of the United States military protecting the opium fields, which from which the heroin is produced. It is a cash crop in Afghanistan. And as a matter of fact, when they went in and had supposedly been doing what they're supposed to do to torch the opium, they destroyed huge crops of it. They reparated the growers of the opium and were paying them, I think, $1,000 a piece. This is on video. This is on video, reparating them from destroying their opium crops. See? And so we don't want to hear no shit about some war against drugs. It's a war against the people, and particularly black and brown people. Chemical war. You see? And so that's what that's about. So in other words, every time the CIA is there, the heroin trade booms. And when they're not, the heroin trade seems to decrease. The Taliban has been made to be the bad guys because what they do is they take the Taliban and they use the women in Afghanistan to play the women off against the Taliban, you know, so we can create this image, you know, the Taliban is a brutal dictatorship, you know, they're doing X, Y, Z, all these things, so they're women. They're women are oppressed and all this kind of shit. Well, who's more oppressed in the world than women here in this country? Because if it didn't, there would be no need for the feminist movement. There'll be no need for it at all, period. So that's how that thing goes in Afghanistan. War is a racket. War is a racket. We might have to come back and revisit it, but I'm going to get in as much as I can. So if you take Afghanistan, going west, the one country that seems to have been in the way is the Iranians. And as I said earlier, they could not get the Iranians into any type of conflict because during that time, their great leader, Ahmadinejad, who actually came to the UN and spoke. And Ahmadinejad had explained the whole 9/11 thing through the intel of the Iranian intelligence, their National Guard. You know, everybody has an intelligence apparatus. And so he explains the whole 9/11 thing,
how it all worked, how it all went down and everything. And so that's why they hated I'm in the Dillinger. And see, the Iranians had practiced a sort of people speak about socialism, you know, this different type of thing. But there've been certain persons who visited Iran, you know. Cynthia McKinney is a sister who used to be in politics from the state of Georgia. When Cynthia McKinney had become politicized, I understand she started the Black Panther Party, you know, its history influenced her. You know, she started, you know, reading, learning, you know, about the struggles and whatnot, and she wasn't the average, you know, just politician, Joanne politician. She started understanding all these different things, and then she became public enemy number one. You see, this is the Black woman that, if you look and see these hearings where I like to refer to him as Scumsfeld. You know, other people know him as Rumsfeld. But you see him sitting up there, and this is Cynthia McKinney, who is grilling him over 9/11, having foreknowledge and all these kind of things. Of course, the intelligence. There's a book called The Terrorist Timeline, which has everything in there, the intel and all these different type of things. As I said, there was one guy who was working with another agency investigating all these things. And so at every turn where he was getting these leads coming across his desk, CIA was shutting down every investigation that he was doing. And so he began to realize that the CIA were rogues, and so he was trying to make something of it. And like I said, he didn't get the memo to stay home that day. And so he died in the building too. That way their problem was solved. And see, people think, we making this shit up. it's funny how, you can be in school, you can go to school and be taught, about all these conspiracies in Rome. You know, how one Caesar conspired to murder the other, leader to take over the throne, and everybody believed the shit, but the shit was 2,000 years ago. It was 1,500 years ago, 1,600 to 1,800 years ago. You know, none of us was there. None of us didn't see the shit, but yet we believe the conspiracy that they teach us in the history book when it comes to the Romans, how they were conspiring against each other. You know, but here you have right here in real time, right in front of you, it's right hiding in plain sight. And so what does the media do? They take the word conspiracy and just keep throwing it around. No, it's conspiracy fact. This is a fact of what they've done. This is a fact. There's no theory about it. It's a fact of what they do to create these wars. Because these wars are worth a lot of money. And so Halliburton, Bechtel, Brown, Root. When Cheney, after Cheney had did his stint as vice president, and there's so much more with him, when Cheney did his stint as vice president, and then he went back and visited the Council on Foreign Relations, and he did a banquet, a little thing, little speech, and this is on video. You can hear him saying it. You know, when he's speaking, he said, "Oh yeah," he said, "Yeah, yeah." When I was running for vice president, I was still a man. I was still the CEO of Halliburton. I just didn't say nothing to nobody. I just didn't say nothing. He literally saying this. Literally, while he was in office, literally saying when he was running for, literally the jokes on the American public. Look, we're gonna stop here, and we got a few minutes left. Before this segment ends, and we're gonna come back. We'll come back next week because it's a whole lot, and I don't want to skip over nothing. I hope I've been able to paint a good picture enough for our listeners, our people to understand, and we're gonna tie more into this the effects of. War on
the people that lives in this country, you know, black people, you know, and so forth, and why the gas, why the bread, you know, price of milk, unemployment, and all these things are tied in, you know, was what referred to as the petrodollar, you know, and we have no idea, you know, using a hurricane, a virus, you know, to justify why the price is so high. That's not the reason why. And we're going to explain the Ukraine thing. But we just want to say, you know, those who listen, you know, we thank y'all for listening, you know, giving us y'all ear tonight. And, you know, tune in, you know, every week, you know, every 2, 7 p.m., same black time, same black station, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, you know, In Defense of the People Radio. I'm your host, National Chairman of the People's Political Party In Defense of the People, my co-host, our Minister of Defense, our brother Motherland, and our DJ on the ones and twos, our National Minister of Communication, Sister Amon O'Shun, man. And you don't want to say personally, man, you know, I can't even really put into words, but, man, you know, this sister does so many things, you know, to make this organization be what it is, you know. And as always, it's always been black women behind the scenes that have made organizations go and thrive and be the best that they can be. I just want, you know, our listeners to know that. You know, your sister does a lot of work. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, don't get mentioned in the history books, you know, but we just want to acknowledge your sister tonight. And we, on that note, we say black power, your whole room.
Black power. Root.
RBGs. Know what I mean? It's war. Know what I mean? Yo, stick. I mean, you should be real on the block. Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs, it's a takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. Run you through the system for their prince, that's war. When they call my boy the drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the rock house, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Purple do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered, I'ma do the yellow, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gas battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat cattle. Is it kids versus beans or bees versus hoes? What about y'all real niggas? Kiss the 5-0. This is M1, DP, don't you forget. Cause you can talk, 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 but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop your top to see where your brain went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the pigs when it all go down. It's not pop versus big, it's who's getting the power. And power ain't money, dog, it's self-determination. Like taking hot and making it the real people's station. That's war. Know what I mean? Yeah. Rap war, whatever war, you live a fast life, more or less, more so, it's still war. Dead prayers, the people radio, yeah. Get down, RBGZ, biatch.
You are now listening to...